In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join myself along with Emma Stark as we have a very honest conversation about success and the gift of failure. Yes, you heard me right. We are going to talk about when God allows some things to fall flat. What do you do and what does that do for your heart? Join us in this episode of What the Prophets Say. Welcome, family, to What the Prophets Say. I hope you're ready for another honest, rip-roaring, prophetic conversation. I am Sam Robertson and joined by the epic prophet that is
Emma Stark.
Yay. And we are just getting ready for a very honest conversation, a personal conversation. I actually don't know what Emma's going to say, but I'm going to interview her on her anyway. So you are going to learn live with me.
Sometimes we just decide that we need to come off the theory and just talk more personally. And
absolutely,
these are the episodes that I think you guys like the most. You and I have notebooks of how many? I mean, I'm on page 143. In my notebook that I write my of prophetic words in the last few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, this is a new one that it's I started like at Christmas and it's
full.
Yeah, a quarter, two quarters, which is a smooth. Maths is my strong point. Just call me a mathematician. So I am two-fourths of the way through a notebook.
Two-fourths.
Yeah, three-sixths.
Simplify that fraction,
yeah,
Sam.
Yeah, a half. But yeah, we write all the time, but I don't know if you get this, but sometimes I write in such a hurry, I do think, what was God saying when I wrote that? And I do need a degree in interpreting my own notes sometimes.
Interpreting your tongues. Yeah. I actually listened to a really good sermon and I took notes, but I half took notes a few weeks ago when I was tired. And I read them back and I think, that preacher looks like a heretic.
Yes.
But it's my note taking.
It's your notes, not the actual
not resolving the sentences.
Or it's spelling in a rush.
Can I say, I do think that my father preaches an amazing sermon on the art of listening to a sermon.
He does.
And he actually taught it to your old church.
My old church, he did. I remember that one very well, yeah.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, about note-taking and engagement and participation.
Yeah, yes. Yes. Oh, we should go there for 2 minutes now and distract ourselves. The point of that is we're not very diligent in the receiving of somebody else's brilliance,
really,
particularly in communication on a Sunday morning, particularly, or even in podcasts. So, and you don't have a hope of retaining it unless you have participated. Or, and actually that participation in the moment where the preacher says, say to your neighbor, say out loud, and the introverts in the room all like resist.
Yeah, really?
But actually the participation is vital for the retention of any of the truths. Yes.
Yeah, I make myself take notes on pretty much every sermon
so
I listen to.
So do I.
Do you know how it started? I mean, I was raised Brethren, but I remember my dad taking me to the morning service. So the communion service before the all-age service. And he would always have paper in his Bible and would tell me to draw pictures according to the sermon or the songs when I was really, really young. So even then, I was learning the habit of note-taking. And I think seeing, you know, you and David's always got his laptop and he's always note-taking and then he's always got every translation open so he can research and learn as he's typing. And you're always typing notes, writing your notes. And it just is this joy of learning and of participating.
Yes.
And I think for those of us who preach, I want to be the sort of listener to other people's sermons that I would like when I preach.
I find it very disconcerting to preach to a room of people who are not taking notes.
Yeah, I agree. I really agree.
And the sense of you're not going to be transformed to the degree that you could be.
I totally agree.
Like, I want to say, do you want to own your journey a little bit better?
Get a notepad, yeah.
But, you know, or your phone, just type
some
two or three thoughts on it. Your one take home type piece.
Absolutely.
And even when I'm preaching in conferences and I'm thinking about like my own leadership role in that moment or what the Spirit of God is doing, I do want to imbibe the brilliance of another person's journey.
Absolutely.
And another person's life.
There's always something to be learned.
Yes.
Which is just the brilliance of life and of the journey of God and the people
Very
of God.
Very good. Very good. Well, we
Absolutely.
Are recording on a Friday. Do you have a fun action-packed weekend planned?
I'm ministering in London in a couple of different places. My wife's with me, which is always brilliant. Mm-hmm. So we have, it's one of those ones where I think we've managed to fit maybe too much, but a lot into one weekend of here, there and everywhere with
the word of the Lord,
which is going to be fun.
I have a Saturday off.
You do.
Which is a miracle.
Are you excited?
Well, yes, but the rugby is on Ireland is playing. Yeah. So, and Scotland is playing. Uh-huh. So that's all. No, they're not playing each other this weekend, but my daughter has been given free tickets to go to their rugby in Scotland in Murrayfield. So,
and the
boys will watch it and we will rest on the settee, but they want me to take them to Stack and Still.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that wasn't a very, that wasn't.
Because it's pancakes and all our followers will know.
It's pancakes. Hate pancakes.
Yes.
You are weird.
That
needs deeper healing in ministry, Sam, the pancake issue.
No way.
They do amazing Biscoff white chocolate.
Do they?
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, it's wasted on
you. Stack and Still is literally a restaurant, I don't know if you have it where you are, that just does pancakes.
Yeah, although I think they do nacho. Would you not even like, mind you, like chili con carne, like sugar nachos on a pancake is weird because then you just get damp pancakes.
I was gonna say, yeah, then it's like wet sponge, wet.
Which we're not about.
Not about at all.
Anyway,
well, that's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
Sliding into the content of our What the Prophets Say.
Yes, favourite food.
What the Prophets Eat. Maybe we need to do another.
What the Prophets Eat.
We need to do a podcast on that, What the Prophets Eat. But we are in an interesting year.
Yes.
Say the least. What have you been personally processing, Emma? Or just
start with a deep question.
You're always mulling a million thoughts. You genuinely are always mulling a million thoughts. But what personally have you been reflecting on or has been inspiring or, yes, piquing your interest?
Piquing my interest in more than that. It's turning my heart inside out.
Yeah.
I actually think I quoted it in the last maybe four podcasts, but this Ronald Rollheiser quote that, you know, when somebody says something and you think, I have got to sit in that for hours. I'm finding it actually very personally liberating. He says this, success looks good in the second half of your life. Now, I'm 49 this year. I'm probably in the second half of my life. Probably. It's a painful admission, Sam. You are probably not in the second half of your life.
Probably not, no.
I am. Success looks good in the second half of your life, but it has very little to teach you.
Wow.
And I went, okay.
Okay.
I made that exact same sound noise. In that, in the first half of life, there is this sense of, I need to discover what I'm good at. I need to understand my capabilities. There's a right journey of, where is my anointing? Mm. Where is there the favor of God? Where is he breaking me through? We're continually praying and prophesying over people about, you were called to this. Don't forget the day of your birth and what God wove in you at creation and conception. You know, all of that. Finding and pushing the gold and the brilliance and the anointing and even last night, my two sons bouncing again into my bed as they do, and I'm doing there. You see, they're at that teenage age where they're a little bit spotty, a bit acne. So I'm like, this is my area.
Yes.
So I'm like, oh, skincare. So
this is what you need.
This is what you need. So
they
roll their eyes. But anyway, now they know what the bedtime routine is. I come and I'm filling cotton pads with, you know, salicylic acid and all of this. And so this is they're begrudgingly having me wipe their face.
Nice.
And now you will need some niacinamide and you will need some salicylic acid. And this is going to de-stuff your pores. And of course, you know what they're like, really,
really.
Yes. Like anyway, but it's our little kind of like ritual. And again, I'm going, as I laid hands on Peter, who's writing dissertations, there is brilliance academically in you and it's going to come out and you're going to find it. And I'm laying hands and we're speaking that life and speaking peace into Samuel, who's in a million different exam modes right now. But I'm speaking brilliance over them and calling it out. You will be a success. And the prophetic words, so vitally important that they understand the wildness of the call of God over their life.
Absolutely.
And I think now that you're just recently married, you're a few months into the journey, you are looking at, where is the anointing between the two of you?
Totally.
And what are you called to do?
Absolutely.
And the joy of the discovery of what I'm good at.
Absolutely. and what we're good at together.
Yes. Yes. And so I sort of know what I'm good at by 40.
Yeah.
8, 49.
You've done that journey for
years. I sort of know what I'm not good at.
Yeah.
I know what switches me off. I am well down that road of, oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
And I'm more resistant to those things that don't bring me alive, because I know they don't bring me alive. And I know that I can see patterns in my life that if I touch that, I'm unlikely to be your answer girl in that place, you know? And I reflect on, here's where I'm great. And I know where I'm great. That sounds very over the top, doesn't it? But I know I can write a book.
Yeah.
I know I can write a book.
Yeah.
At one point, that was a revelation. I can write.
Yeah.
Woohoo! You know,
and now, wild. Yeah.
And now I'm very grateful for the contracts that Destiny Image gives me. I will always be grateful. The privilege will never be lost on me.
Mm.
But that success is not teaching me anything.
Yeah.
So how am I learning?
Uh-huh.
I'm learning in the failures.
Yeah. Wow.
And so sometimes I think in the second half of your life, as I reflect on this, that there's more failure, and that's okay, because I sort of need it to learn.
Mm.
Whereas I'm learning in the early years by my success. Yeah. I'm good at this. This is great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So let's take this book that I've just published called Becoming the Voice of God, or the new on Prophets, Politics, War and Nations, whatever title we land on. I really want those books to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Please buy them, listeners. Be nice to me.
Yes.
But what will I learn if they're successful?
Oh. True.
Please, God, don't make them a failure. But if they're not successful, I'll probably learn more.
Yeah.
Mm. So there is this place of, I think, God allowing some things to not work out.
Yeah. Mm.
And so my measurements as I age are different.
Mm.
And God says, look, that's not going to work out, and I'm going to teach you through that. And that is okay. So I think, as you hit that second half of life, listeners, if you're in that second half of life, and that doesn't mean you're old, because I don't consider myself old, I'm learning through what goes wrong rather than what goes right.
Mm.
I want to be good at what I'm anointed to do.
Totally.
But I'm sitting in the processing of, I'm learning now through what goes wrong. And where I'm not so good. And I'm wanting to sit in that. And I'm wanting to know what I need to learn. I don't want to wallow in it. What I need to learn. And God, I think you deliberately allowed that not to work out.
Mm-hmm.
That is hard when God orchestrates it to teach you. Don't touch that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't get ideas above your station. You might actually be good at that. You might actually be brilliant at writing a book or prophesying, but I'm going to allow some things not to work out.
I'm going to let some things fail.
And yes. So that because what matters more than my success, and what matters more than my platform or my ministry for any of us or any microphone or any sense of, is, am I transformed into the image of his son?
Mm.
And he's more interested in that journey. He's more interested in that I might reflect him in a fuller way.
Yeah. And the gift that you have to learn to receive failure as. I remember Carl Martin, you know, your leadership coach, he teaches us on leadership.
Oh, my leadership coach, yeah, he's
talking
brilliant.
About failure as the ultimate gift for the leader.
Yes.
And particularly for the Christian leader. And he said something along the lines of, I'll probably misquote him, if you don't receive failure as a gift and you only receive success and you only stay in your lane of success, you will very quickly stop your dependency on God. You'll very quickly become dependent on yourself. And then failure in the worst sense is inevitable in that space.
Yes, and I think you can take failure as utterly crippling or as a gift.
Yes, you can. You can choose.
You do have to choose.
You do.
How do I live this story?
Totally.
Before the Lord, so that it is, I am transformed by it, yeah. not undermined by it forevermore.
Yeah.
That I'm pushing through it and asking questions that are learning questions, not reinforcing stuckness in it, or really, really important, so that I become self-aware, I name, I own, but I also move into fixing. And the sense, I think, of what failure exposes is your motivations. Why do you do what you do?
Yes.
Whenever it doesn't work out, why do you do what you do? Now, for me, I love language. You love language. I love communication. Why do I write books? Why do, Sam?
What's the motivation?
Sam, why do you preach?
Yeah.
I'm asking you. You're going to ask me, but you can't put me on the spot with a question like that. And not, why do you preach? Sorry, that was very like, why do you preach?
I mean, I think there's first, I feel the call. To preach. That is, there's faithfulness to God.
Yes.
I do have this drive that people need to know truth.
I think in every prophet there is that. And that's, you know.
You need to know truth. And that motivates, that definitely drives and motivates. There is also the, I think, you know, because I'm in that first half of life.
Yes.
I love communication and language. And I know that that is just one of my gifts of being able to communicate something and explain something. I know that that way with words, you know, drama and all that kind of stuff that you see us do. So I guess there's a sense that if I'm really honest as well, there's the call, there's the, I want people to know truth, but I enjoy it.
Yes.
Do you know if we're being real, I enjoy the preaching, I enjoy teaching, I enjoy communication.
I think that's a good thing. I think God...
Yeah, I come alive
you,
doing
yeah,
it.
I think God loves to give you the desires of your heart. I think if we're very, very honest, and I am going to push you live on a podcast.
Yeah, come on, push me.
There is a sense that we come to everything with mixed motives.
Yeah, totally.
And we have to be honest about that sometimes I want, you or we all want visibility because... It's about ego and it makes me feel good in the moment because I feel validated.
Yeah.
And I think that is okay as long as we're honest about it.
Yes.
As well as the flip side of that of I'm here because I love truth and I want the people transformed.
Awesome.
And that when you stay in the light of the honesty of
here's my
motives, and today I'm not sure which is the most dominant motive, but I know I have all of them, and that is okay if I live within that honesty within myself.
I think it's the honesty. It's not the annihilate all my motives, God. It's the honesty with them, because I think if you're not honest with, actually, I quite like it when a room of a large number of people come with me on a journey, and there's a buzz and there's an enjoyment a journey. If you're not honest with that, it's not that the motive isn't there, but it starts to take over and come out of the right order of how you assess your life and your call.
I think what failure does as a gift is it gets you to sit in your motivations.
It does.
Which is a heart examining place.
It is.
Am I like Christ in this or am I not? I've always maintained that when I watch people in the age bracket up for me, I'm Gen X, am I? Yes. Into the boomer generation, I always think they either grow old, cantankerously and grumpy, or they grow old full of grace and wisdom.
Yeah.
I rarely see anything else.
Yeah.
And the sense of those who reflect on their motives and are more growing into the image of Christ versus those who don't deal with what life gives them, and then they just become difficult.
Yeah.
And I watch both, and I actually have proximity to both. And the cantankerous grumpy is, I'm still territorial.
Yeah,
I still want my platform. I know best. I am going to dominate. And the set, you know, versus those who are like, I want the fullness of the kingdom of God.
Let me share what I have.
And it's a limitless kingdom, and we're all going to grow together. And there is very definitely that divide.
Absolutely. I think kind of pushing the thought personally, I guess, into our realm, put it into whatever you're successful or good at. You know, there is a sense of, I remember a couple of years ago, maybe just after or before COVID, I'd been on one of those seasons where I was aware I was preaching under the anointing, things yes. were landing, and I'd crafted this sermon. It was one of the first times I'd really traveled in my own ministry.
Yeah.
And I mean, prepping it, I was like, oh, this is so good.
Due diligence. Actually, it's worship, yeah, it's due diligence.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
And it landed flat.
Yeah.
It just didn't land when I preached it. And I remember rest, and you do the whole having to, oh, maybe I'm not called. And you go dramatically, as we sometimes do. And God's saying, it wasn't the sermon. I just didn't let it land. And and I remember a day of real heart motives of, would I still be faithful to preach? Would I still be faithful to my call if it didn't feel good in the room, or I didn't get a response, or I didn't get a reaction, or it didn't land the way I wanted it to? And God's saying, look, your sermon was great. It was well prepped. But I just, in a moment of needing to measure you, Sam, I made it go flat. I made it land and for it to feel weird so that I could look at your heart.
The joy of that story, Sam, is that your effervescent communicator, interestingly, around the dinner table last night, we were talking about gifted oration and gifted communication. Yeah. And we had flicked up on all of our phones, you know, like who's preaching really well at the moment around the world, and who are my children watching? Because of course they consume so much of media, and it's all shorts and clips. It's not, they're not actually watching a whole sermon. Who's watching a whole sermon? And you know, you're watching the reel or the short. And they, and then we were looking at you on Sunday and Robert Madu and. And the boy, and everybody's oohing and aahing because there's this level of, you know, giftedness in oration and communication, enthusiasm, skill, managing a platform, body language, all of that. So we were actually celebrating you as a family last night around the dinner table. In all of that, for all of us, an awful lot of what we deliver is personality, enthusiasm, inspiration. Yeah. You can get a buy on that for a long time. And I love the fact that God said, I'm almost going to suppress what your personality does in a room and see it without.
Yep. Your skill and your
Your skill is almost going to be hidden from you. Your personal flesh skill is going to be hidden from you. And the anointing is going to be present to see what does that feel like. In that moment,
absolutely,
where God again deliberately says, "Look, we're just not going to let some things work out because you have got to."
There has to be a heart conversation.
Where every trick of the trade that you know how to do, irrespective of your call, He just says, "It's just not going to work."
Totally,
it's just not going to work.
Totally,
and those moments, and we've all been there.
Oh yeah,
and I've certainly been there where I have thought, "God, where are you?"
Totally,
where are you? Because I know what it is to catch the wind of your spirit, and I know what it is. And the bizarre thing is, I can stand on a platform and I can feel the favor of God and it falls flat on the people.
Totally.
Or I can stand on a platform and I feel nothing favor of God and it lands really well.
And going, you're like, my goodness, that was amazing.
That God does what He pleases.
He does.
And He makes sure that the people get what they need and He makes sure you get the medicine you need.
Absolutely.
You know, the highest points is when everybody's on the, is everybody's like, I'm in the anointing and you're receiving. Yeah. But the conversation conclusion to that is, the coming and the going of success and failure that God allows as joyous journeying.
Mm. Come on.
Is really the point of that. And that my ultimate and my highest is this, that I am not trying to bend God to bless the life I think I should have. Oh, listen. I think I should be in ministry. I think I should have my own. Ah, sorry, that's right. God, I want you to bless the life I think I should have.
Yeah. We all do it sometimes.
My inbox is full of that kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to bless me into the life I think I should have. Rather than saying, can I find the joy? Can I find you in the life I actually have? And can I find your goodness in what you have given me? And can I find success and failure and learn from them both in the place I am, rather than always wanting to be elsewhere? And that sense of, yes, I'm going to work out my prophetic words with fear and trembling. Yes, I'm going to make a good war for it over my prophetic words. But God, I don't want to ask you to always bless something I don't yet have. Mm-hmm. But can I find you here? And can I find you now?
Yeah. Very good.
And I think even as an organization, as we have wrestled to find a building.
Yes.
We're always saying one day in a building, one day in a building. God, can we find you
here and now,
in the blessing of the here and now? What does your goodness look like here? Yeah. What does your goodness look like now? And I think that is
brilliant.
Where I am right now, if you ask me a personal question.
Read us that quote again, I think, as we
land. Oh, the Ronald Rollheiser. Yeah. I actually am not even sure what book it's from. He does have some brilliant quotes. Other quotes, I must buy the book. Yeah. I don't even know what his book is called.
We'll
I just came
we'll
across
Google it after.
Yeah. Success looks good in the second half of your life, but it has very little to teach you.
Wow.
Oh, brilliant. I hope he's not a dodgy guy.
We'll find out after this podcast.
Thank you, friends.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening and watching us talk in this very personal conversation. And make sure you join us for the next episode of What the Prophets Say, where we will be dealing you some more delicious prophetic content with what God is saying to us personally and to the church right now. See you later.
Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark. If you would like to go deeper with us, you would be very welcome to join our network, the Global Prophetic Alliance. You can find that at propheticscots.com, where we have a comprehensive training program to lead you into deeper realms of the Spirit of God and encounter. If you feel a call in the pull to deliverance ministry, you can download my latest e-course, which is a comprehensive overview of getting people free from demonic oppression. You'll find that at demonbusting.com. Join us on these different platforms for more interaction with Emma Stark, Sam Robertson, and the GPA team.